Our Bible lesson tonight comes from the second chapter of the Gospel of Mark, the first 12 verses. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born before. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit what they reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason these things in your hearts? Whither is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he rose, and took up the bed, and went forth before them, and all so much that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. I don't know if you know it or not, but we are basically a very selfish people. We like ourselves, and we like what is done for us, and we like what we can get. That's the question. Most of the time, the question is, what's in it for me? What can I get out of it? What's going to be given to me? What's going to happen to me? Now, sadly, that's true in everything. In our families, we want to know, what's my husband going to do for me? It's not, what am I going to do for him? What's my wife going to do for me? It's not, what am I going to do for her? We ask, what are my kids going to do for me? Not, what I'm going to do for them. We ask, what's my fellow worker going to do for me? Not, what I'm going to do for them. And we do that in church. We come to church and the whole idea is what I'm going to get out of it. We forget what I'm going to put into it. You see, you get no more out of anything than what you put into it. So when we come to God's house and to the fellowship of God's people and to doing the work of God, then the question is not so much, what am I going to get out of it? But the question is, what am I going to give to it? So the question tonight is this, what do I bring with me to God? What do I bring with me when I come to God and when I come to God's house? Now, the story is a beautiful story that I just read to you. And I've always liked that story a lot. And I really think that's Peter's house. Because if you remember, Jesus stayed in Peter's house in Capernaum. And houses were built with beams across the top, and the roof was made in layers with mats of mud, because it was a dry country, with mats of mud and reeds, and it made a floor. And so what they did, they had a friend that was paralyzed and laying on a cot, and they brought him. Four men came carrying the cot, and they brought it to get Jesus to pray for him. You know the story. There was a crowd so big in the house, so big in the yard, so big in the road, they couldn't even get close to the door. There wasn't an opportunity at all for them to get the man to Christ. But they weren't going to be deterred about it. Now, Christ admired their faith. I have to admire their loyalty to their friend. The whole point to me is they brought their friend to Jesus. Now, what have you brought tonight? They brought their friend. Jesus was there. He was healing the sick. He was preaching the word. He was doing marvelous things. The question is, what did they bring? They brought their friend. But when they got there, there were obstacles. there are always going to be obstacles, by the way. And there was people, and they were standing everywhere. They couldn't even see Jesus. They couldn't even get to the door. They can hear his voice coming out, and he's preaching, but they can't get to him. That's not going to stop them. They climb the stairway outside the house. They go up on the roof, and they tear up the roof. I'm sure when Peter's standing down there with Jesus in his house, and the roof starts to cave in, and somebody starts tearing up the roof, I don't know how good I would be about that. What kind of an attitude would I have if they were tearing my roof off to get somebody inside? And they ripped the whole roof off, at least a hole big enough to take ropes and let the man down into the house, and they let him down where Jesus was. And consequently, the man had his sins forgiven and his body healed, took up his bed, and walked away. And it was all because they brought him to Jesus. Who is the last person, think about it, that you brought to Jesus? Who is the last person that you brought to God to be saved, to be healed, to be delivered? Now, I have to tell you, there's not a lack of people that need to come to Jesus. If you haven't brought anybody to Jesus in recent times, then it's not because there's not anybody out there. You say, well, we just live in a little bitty old county over here in the woods, and we only got 16,000 people in Giles County. And how many of those 16,000 people do you think are born again, filled with the Spirit, walking in the light of God's love and truth? How many of those people do you think there are of the 16,000 that really, really need God? There's a whole bunch. If you don't believe it, go by the liquor store. If you don't believe it, go by the places where they drink. Go by the places, go out on Sunday morning. I know we don't have that many Seventh-day Adventists and Jews in this county. We have a small number of Seventh-day Adventists and no Jews. And when I go out on Sunday morning coming to church, people are doing everything. They're washing their boats, they're mowing their yards, they're doing everything, but they're not going to church. So there's not a lack of people that need to come to church. How many of you be honest and say, I know somebody that needs to come to church but don't go? See, everybody knows. Everybody knows somebody that needs to go to church. Now, these men, brought their friend to Jesus, and it paid off. Do you realize you may not can preach a sermon? You may not can sing a song. You may not can teach a lesson. You may not walk on the water or do a miracle or anything like that. But I can tell you something. If you bring a man to Jesus and he's healed from his sins and he's saved from his ungodly ways, my friend, you get the same reward in the day of judgment as the preacher that preached the message that got him saved. What have you brought to Jesus lately? Well, I can tell you, people in Jesus' time brought their children to Jesus. They came all the time, and Jesus would sit down and take the little children on his lap and lay his hands on them and bless them and love them. Of all the people on earth that we could bring to Jesus, why on earth would we not bring our children to him? They brought their little children that they could sit on his lap and he would bless them. Do you know there were people that found fault with that? There were. You know what their names were? Peter, James, John, Bartholomew, Nathaniel. You know what they said? They said, he don't have time for them kids. He don't have time for that. He don't have time to do that. He's busy preaching. He's busy healing. He's busy doing big stuff. He don't have time to play with kids. He don't have time to bless kids. Take these kids and go on. Don't be interrupting him. You know what he said? He said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And then he said, except you become as one of these little ones, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. I saw a horrible thing happen in Cincinnati one time. I think I've told you. As you get older, you tell your stories over and over again because you'd run out of stuff to say, I guess. But I was at a revival meeting. There was a healing meeting going on in the Taft Auditorium. It was huge. I mean, Taft Auditorium is a swanky place, and it was full of people that were in the balconies. The floor was full, and when I got there, I couldn't get in the auditorium because there were too many people, and they put me in the balcony. Well, that was okay because it was a great place to see the pulpit. And as I sat in the balcony, they opened up the curtains and had a beautiful choir. All of them were in chiffon-colored robes, pink and blue and green, and they were all swaying and they were all singing. And then as they sang and prayed, the evangelist came out. He had a new store hairdo, by the way. Probably a dye job, too, to tell you the truth from my looks of it, from back there. And he came out. He had on a bright yellow evening coat, black slacks with a stripe down the side. He had, and I always worry about men that wear a lot of ruffles, by the way. And he had on a shirt with just lots of ruffles down the front and studs and ruffles around his sleeves and studs. And he came out and he was singing, and he had a pretty good voice, to tell you the truth. And all at once, he moved off the pulpit, and all the people in the balcony jumped up and hung over the balcony, and I couldn't see. So I said, "What's going on?" I said, "Oh, the Spirit's on him, the Spirit's on him." So I finally stood up in the chair, in the seat, so I could see. And then I still couldn't see because he came down in the floor. So I left and went down the steps. By that time, the ushers weren't paying me any mind. They were interested in what he was doing. And I watched him, and I was full of unbelief. Real full of unbelief. As I watched, I said, "Now, God, if this man's for real, let me see it. And I'll confess it before this audience. I'll tell it. But God, it just looks like a big show to me." Well, there was an old gentleman on a cane, and he took his cane and broke it and threw it up on the pulpit. And the old man went down the aisle. I really wasn't impressed. There was a woman who was obviously going through menopause, and she squealed and jumped around a little bit, and I wasn't impressed. There was a young girl that was a teenager. She could have been going any direction. And she jumped up and down and squealed in the aisle, and I wasn't impressed. But what did impress me was, to my right, a black gentleman came with two little children. They should have been on the funeral home fans that you pass out. They were beautiful. That little girl and that little boy, they were the prettiest kids you ever looked at in your life. And that little girl, she had a problem. She had a crutch under one arm. And the father took the crutch and laid it in the corner. And she had a leg that was way shorter than the other leg and was withered. And the little boy, he put his arm around the little girl's neck. A little girl put her arm around the little boy's neck. And I heard what the father said. He said, "Go down and brother so-and-so will lay his hands on you and pray for you." And down the aisle they went, one of those auditoriums that goes down like that. And I said, "God, if this child's healed, I'll confess in front of everybody." And I stood and watched. And as they went down the aisle with their little arms around each other, and they got maybe as far from here to Wally from the evangelist, the usher saw them. They ran hard as they could run. And they grabbed the kids by the shoulders and carried them out the aisle and put them out the door and shut the door and said, "Now go." Well, I went in overdrive. Right that minute, I went in overdrive. I grabbed the usher and put him against the wall. And I said, "I want to know one thing. Why can't this child be prayed for?" He said, "Oh, brother," I won't say his name, "is in the spirit. And if these children go down there, they'll break the spirit." Well, that's when I went in real overdrive and started preaching. Because I said, "Are you telling me that my Lord, who took children on his lap and blessed them, you can break the spirit of God by children who are asking for healing?" So I took off down the aisle after the evangelist. And I got pretty close to him, and I saw all those TV cameras, and it was all being recorded. And I said, "Kendall, you are fixing to do time in the Cincinnati jail." And I turned around and walked back out and nearly puked when I went out the door because they were selling his pictures in 1972, mind you, for $5 a piece. Well, I wouldn't have put it in a cornfield. I wouldn't have subjected the crows to that. And you say, "Why did you tell that story?" I'll tell you why. because people can bring their children to Jesus and Jesus will accept you. Jesus will accept who you are and he won't care what you're... Hey, I'm not a healer, but I would have prayed for that kid. Amen? I'm not a healer, but I know the healer and I know the one that was in this and I would have prayed for that kid or busted. And you say, but it had been on television. If they hadn't have walked, then everybody would have seen it. Well, everybody let them see it. But if you don't have any more faith than that, there's no reason to pray for them because they're not going to be healed anyway. Isn't that sad? What did you bring to Jesus? This man in Cincinnati brought his two little children to Jesus and he was rejected by the evangelist. Isn't that sad? New Testament Christians brought their offerings and their tithes to Jesus. You say, well, I don't know if they did that or not. I know they did. You remember when the church started out and they had all the widows and there wasn't enough money to go around and they wanted everybody? Do you realize that as Christians, as being filled with the Spirit of God, they could not look at those people in their congregation who did not have food to eat and clothes to wear, and they had houses and lands and properties. They could not look at those people without that and stand it. They went out and sold their houses and their lands. They sold their extra things that they had, and they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet so they could feed the poor and take care of the widows. How could you do else as a Christian? How could Christians do else? Christians in the book of Acts brought their offerings, and on, if you read Paul closely, on the first day of the week, what day of the week's that? Sunday. On the first day of the week, when they gathered together, they brought their offerings and laid them aside for the glory of God and for the needs of the church. People brought their friends to Jesus. People brought their children to Jesus. People brought, well, the wise men brought gifts of worship to Jesus, didn't they? Man, what a testimony of faith. Here's a little baby, maybe a month old, maybe 3 months old or 4 months old. I don't know how old he was. They were living in a house. They'd moved out of the stable. And Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were there. Maybe he was already toddling because, you know, Herod killed all the babies 2 years old and under. And maybe he was already toddling around. But here these men come from over in the east. They've got gold and frankincense and myrrh. They come worshiping the King of the Jews. They come and find a baby sitting on his mama's lap. And they get down on their knees and they bring their gifts and they worship him. What did they bring to him? They brought their worship. They came from all over the world to worship him. What have we brought to this tonight? What have we brought to this? You know, we all have to ask ourselves the question, are you married? What did you bring to the marriage? A sour attitude? A selfish disposition? We all bring things to our marriage. What did we bring to it? A habit that would destroy the marriage? Bad habits that would make our mate uncomfortable? What did we bring to the marriage? All of us bring something to our job. We go out and get a job. We want the man to hire us. We want the man to pay us. Let me ask you this. What did we bring to the man? What did we bring to the job? If I'm on a job and I'm working on a job, what am I bringing to the job? What is my contribution to the job? All of us like friends. You know, I forget sometimes being in the positions I'm in, what it's like just to be friends, just to have friends. And the other day I went in a restaurant and there was a man and a woman there have been recently married. I've known them both since we were kids. And I realized what a wonderful thing it was to sit down with friends and just talk, just have a good time. And we just sat down. I know it was because it was right below Cecil and Peggy's house, right down there in that barbecue place. But we had the best time, and what would have been a 15-minute lunch for me turned into an hour's friendship talk because we sat and talked.
You say, oh, I'd like to have friends. Well, the first thing you do when you have friends is to first be friendly. Amen? You know what the Bible says? So the question is, if I want friends, what am I bringing to the friendship? What is it that I'm bringing to it? And let me ask you this. What am I bringing to the family circle? We always want our families to do good. I love it when all of my family's together. And last night we were privileged to all sit down at the same table at the same time. Boy, that's a miracle nowadays, isn't it? If you got much family. And all 10 of us got to sit down. My two sons-in-law, one was sick and one was on a trip. But all the rest of us got to sit down at one table in one restaurant and eat and enjoy each other's company. But my question is, what do I bring to the family circle? Am I the old sourpuss that everybody has to wait on and take care of because he's the old man? We have to take care of him. He's the old man. We got to look after him. What am I bringing to the family circle? What am I bringing to the relationships that we have? And then the question that is of utmost importance to us here tonight, what are we bringing to the church of God? What do I bring to the church of God? Maybe I bring a song. When we come, what do we bring to the worship service? Well, it would not be music or songs for me, but it may be for you. Because you see, what I don't have, you do have. And I can't supply the music, so Brother Eddie came this morning and supplied a song. See, there is an Eddie that can sing. And Brother Eddie came this morning and sang for us. Well, what do I bring to the church of God when I come? Do I bring a song or music? Do I bring a melody in my heart? Do I bring a testimony? Do I have a testimony I could share? What do I bring when I come to the church of God? Do I bring a testimony? Maybe I have a spiritual gift. Maybe I bring my spiritual gift. Some people way misunderstand spiritual gifts. If God has given me a spiritual gift, it's not to help me. It's to help you. Your spiritual gift will supply for me what I need, but my spiritual gift is designed by God to help you. You see, the gifts and callings of God and the spiritual gifts of God are for what? The perfecting of the saints. If God has given you a spiritual gift, I hear people sometimes say, well, my Holy Ghost told me. Whoa, mule. He's all of ours, isn't he? And you know what else? If he speaks through me in this congregation, it's for your edification. Amen? If there is a spiritual gift going to operate through me in this congregation tonight, it's for you. It's to perfect you. It's to help you. It's to strengthen you. Maybe I come with a sermon. I usually have one. Sometimes I'm terrified. I can make up a sermon anytime, folks. I've been preaching long enough and got the gift of gab enough that I could probably preach whenever I needed to. But that's not the message you need. You don't need me just to go in and make up a homily. God forbid I use that word in a Pentecostal church. We had a preacher over in the other end of the county for a while that wrote all of his sermons out, typed them, and had them in all double space and everything. And when you came in his church on Sunday morning, he handed you a copy of the sermon as he came through the door. And then when it came time to preach, he got up, put his sermon on the pulpit, and he read the sermon, and you read it with him. Boring! Even in a dead-as-a-doornail church, it was boring. Wow. If you're coming with a sermon, then let it be a message from God to the people. Let it be the message they need to hear, the message that's there for them. How about, what am I going to bring to the church of God? How about bringing a sweet spirit? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if every single person in the world brought a sweet, sweet spirit? We like to sing, there's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place, and I know it's the Spirit of the Lord, and I like it to be that way, but let me tell you something. I personally need to bring a sweet spirit. Amen? What am I bringing to the church of God? How about a set of willing hands? Jim Turner, I believe you got a set of willing hands. We've got some people that's got sets of willing hands. Wally Lawson has sets of willing hands. How about bringing a set of willing hands? There's dozens of things that need to be done to keep a church going. There's dozens of things that need to be done to keep things going and doing like it ought to. How about bringing a set of willing hands? Or how about bringing a forgiving heart to the church of God? A forbearing spirit. A spirit that will put up with me. I mean, you're gonna really get your spiritual exercise if you have a forgiving and forbearing spirit that'll put up with me. My goodness, you've just grown a lot in the Lord right then and right there. If you can tolerate me. How about that? Or how about a heart filled with heaven-sent love? How about a heart that really, how about when I come to God's house and I come to the church of God, I bring a heart filled with heaven-sent love? And how about that I bring myself a faithful example? What am I bringing? Some people brought their friend. Some people brought their children. Some people brought gifts of worship. Some people brought their tithes and their offerings. Some people sit around and wonder, what could I bring? My friend, all of us have something we can bring. You may not can bring a sermon or a song, but there's no one here but could not bring a sweet spirit. You may not bring a sermon or a song, but or a spiritual gift like glossolalia or something, but my friend, you could bring a set of willing hands. You could bring a forgiving and forbearing heart. You could bring a heart filled with heaven-sent love, and you could bring a faithful example. What have you brought to the church of God? What have you brought to the house where God's people are and to the body of people that are together? My friends, we cannot survive without each other. That's what makes the church of the living God. You know, we're all different. That's the beauty of the family of God. I don't mind that my children don't all look alike. I don't mind that Odessa has black hair and black eyes and an olive complexion, and that Mimi has a fair complexion and blonde hair, if it wasn't for Miss Clairol, or white hair. I don't mind that they're not alike. And I don't mind that Ashley is younger than they are and is a mixture of the two. I like the diversity. And as God looks down from heaven at us, He's not upset that we're all different. He loves His family the way we are. So when we come together, when we come to the church of God, we come bringing something. Now, how about a sour attitude? Boy, that doesn't do the thing any good, does it? How about a stubborn attitude? How about a flaring temper? Brothers and sisters, that won't get it, will it? That won't do it. Oh, my friend, what have you brought? What are you bringing? What do you have to bring? Every one of us here can bring a sweet spirit. Every one of us here can bring the love of God. Every one of us here can bring willing hands. Every one of us here can bring love. I challenge you today. Look to see what you can bring to the church of the living God. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that you will indeed hear the prayers of your servant. And Lord, that your Holy Spirit and your holy grace will be with us. That your holy presence will touch us and give us grace and strength. Lord, forgive us for walking in our own ways. Forgive us for our selfishness of worrying about what I'm going to get from the church and what I'm going to get from somebody and what I'm going to get from somewhere else. But help us, our Father, to be able to come giving, to come leaving with other people our gifts that we have brought. Father, that when they leave our presence, they will feel a sweet spirit. They will feel the love of God. they will feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Precious Father, we pray in Jesus' name that thy Holy Spirit and thy holy power will bless and touch. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. Thank you for each of your precious people who are here tonight. And Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit will bless them and touch them and give them grace and strength. And Father, we pray that you will open our hearts up that we may be the people you would have us to be. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a wonderful old song. It's an easy song to sing, even for somebody like me. And I have to tell you what else it is. It's got great question. If you didn't have the Lord to go to, where would you go? That's the song, Where Could I Go But to the Lord? Would you stand? If you need prayer tonight, I'll be so glad to pray with you. And these people here will pray with you. And we love to pray with you. You know where to go. You know where the answer is. You remember the message this morning? We're all struggling in a battle. You got your battle, I got my battle, and all of our battles get together sometimes. But I can tell you, my friend, we know where to go. I've been doing research into the people that founded this church and were in the early days of the Pentecostal movement in this area. They made some real blunders. They really did. But you know what? When I look at them, I look at them and I think, boy, they were trying. They were trying. They were doing everything they knew to do. They were trying to get things together. They were trying to experience the new blessing of God. They were trying to walk in the holiness way. You know, that used to be all Pentecostal people were holiness people. Do you know that? There was a time that all Pentecostal people were holiness people, which meant we had a very strict lifestyle. Now, in this day and time, well, there can be any kind of a thing claiming Pentecost. It's much different than it was then. But as I look at them, struggling with the world, struggling with themselves, struggling with their own demons, I think, man, they had a hard time starting out. And I'm really glad they were there, because they laid foundations for us to step on and foundations for us to walk on. Amen? And we're here today and we're fighting a battle. I don't know how long it's going to be till Jesus comes. I wouldn't be surprised if he come today or tomorrow or next week. But I can tell you, he's coming. And until he gets here, we got to fight the battle. And we got to get on with it, my friend. And until then, I want to bring the very best that I have to him for his honor and his glory. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the service tonight, for the sweet Spirit of God, for the blessings of the Lord. Pray the Holy Ghost will be with us, sanctify us, use us, and touch us to your glory. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.